Don't go anywhere. I'm going to get a shot of this. We've got to get some live action. So pretend like you're talking there. There we go. That's good. All right, here we go. Are you ready? What? Oh, well, get down to the piano. We'll do you. Okay, here we go. Wait, just a second. Let me.
This is my photo session.
Well, let me get him.
You wanted a photo of me?
All right, I'll get one of you. And I get one of you.
Well, no.
All right, well, thank you. You guys can sit down. That was good, wasn't it? They didn't know what was coming. Let's pray, and then we'll talk about what that's all about. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's powerful, and thank you that it's vivid, and it gives us images, and it gives us words that show us how we are supposed to live. Guide us now. Help us to understand your word, and even more, help us to obey your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So what was going on there? I'm trying to take a picture of John, and Daniel wants me to take a picture. So I can take a picture of Daniel, but I can't take a picture in two different directions at the same time, can I? I can't focus on John and get his picture, and at the same time be focusing on Daniel and his picture. See what I'm saying? There's no way that I could do both things at the same time. It was one or the other. As we get into the passage this morning, you'll see that's exactly what Paul's talking about through this whole section. You can either live by the Spirit, or you can live controlled by your sinful nature. It's one or the other. You can either focus on the things of God, and you can focus on allowing the Spirit to control you, or you can seek to live in the way that your sinful nature dictates. It's one or the other. You cannot do both at the same time. And that's an amazing thing. It shouldn't come as any surprise for us. You can't go out on the field and play for the same team and then switch sides and play for the other. You can't, and especially in basketball, you can't play for both teams at the same time. It just doesn't work that way. You're on one side or the other. If you're in a war, you can't fight on both sides. It's one side or the other. Now, the last few verses that we talked about last week, Galatians 5, 13 and 14, Paul said this, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature." So he's saying, okay, God's called you to freedom. He's called you to be free, to live under the freedom of the Spirit of God and to follow him with your whole heart. But don't use that freedom that you've got to kind of ignore what it means to walk in the Spirit. Don't use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. Rather, he says, serve one another in love. So on one level, what he's saying there is, you are supposed to live by the Spirit. And if you do that, then you will be showing love to others the way you're supposed to. That's one thing that he's coming through with there. Now he moves on a little bit further and he says, now let me talk to you about what it means to live by the Spirit as opposed to following the desires of your sinful nature. And that's where we're headed as we get into verse 16. One way to live in freedom is to not indulge the sinful nature. That's where we're headed. So verse 16, I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Your translation may say walk, but it's the whole idea is of keep on living, keep on going. It's a continuous ongoing, it's a habitual lifestyle that he's talking about here. And by the way, in the Greek, it's also an imperative, which means it's a command. So what he's saying is keep on living, keep on walking, keep on doing this, walking with the Spirit. Keep doing that. And there's a good reason for you to keep doing that. The Spirit gives you direction. The Spirit gives you strength. The Spirit gives you the ability to say no to sin. The Spirit does all of that. It gives you the power to win against your sin nature. So when he says, I say, live by the Spirit, then he goes on to say, and if you do that, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Gratify means to indulge, to just do whatever your sin nature is kind of laying out there in front of you to do. So you indulge yourself. That's not considered a good thing. And in spiritual sense, it's not considered good at all. So he's saying walk in the Spirit so that you don't indulge yourself, so that you don't walk in the way of your sinful nature. The flesh is one of those things that when we talk about the flesh or the sin nature, it's what we were before Christ. It's what we were before he came into our hearts and changed our lives. And even at our best, as sinful fallen creatures, we do everything that we possibly can that's good. There's still that taint of sin on all of it because we've not been redeemed. Then we're redeemed and we're saved and now we've got a relationship with God and Paul is saying now you need to walk in accordance with the Spirit. Walk with Him so that you don't gratify that old nature. And that's the thought that he's trying to communicate very clearly there. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, he says it a little differently. He says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? He says, so the Holy Spirit lives within you, Paul is saying. You received the Holy Spirit from God when you were saved. You received the Holy Spirit. How are you, and you are not your own. You were bought and paid for, purchased with a price. He says, you've got the Holy Spirit in you because Jesus died for you. And when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you received the Spirit. And so now you can walk in the Spirit because of that. So to walk by the Spirit is the whole idea of being focused on Jesus Christ. And when we walk in the Spirit, the self-life is put to one side. And we act as if it's dead. We separate ourselves from it. Galatians 5:13. Again, you, my brothers, are called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. So we've got freedom in Christ. We don't have to live under the law. We've got all this amazing wonder of the grace of God, but don't use the grace and the wonder that we have to just go out and do sinful things. Rather, he says, serve one another in love. So walk by the Spirit. How? If you walk by the Spirit, then you will not indulge your sinful nature. So verse 16 again, I say live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And then he goes on to kind of, you know, talk about a little bit more. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you don't do what you want to do. And so if you get the picture of the sinful nature's over here pulling you and pulling you and pulling you, and the Spirit of God's pulling you and pulling you and pulling you, you've got a choice. Are you going to follow the sinful nature, or are you going to follow the Spirit of God? Are you going to submit and surrender to God and allow the Spirit to lead and guide you and walk by the Spirit? Or are you going to say no to that and say, okay, I'll just do what my sinful nature is kind of laying out there for me? And he says it's something that's contrary. Both natures are you can't put them together. You can't say, well, I'm going to have a little bit of my sin nature at work and a little bit of the Spirit of God at work. It's not that way. He says they're in contrary to each other. They are against each other. They are completely opposite. They are in conflict or opposition with each other. So the question then becomes, why in the world do we think that we can pull that off? Why do we think that we can kind of have one foot in sin and one foot living for God? It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. And very honestly, that last phrase is a real strong warning to us. We focus on our sinful desires and the things that we want to do and think, well, I'm free. I can do all this stuff and it doesn't really matter, you know. Or even use the excuse, well, I can always confess it later. Well, then we're really not doing what we want to do. One of the things I think Paul's trying to get at here is that down deep inside every believer, there is that desire to honor Christ. Now, we don't always get there, and we don't always do it perfectly, but that is what we long for on a real solid level down deep underneath. Yeah, we do want to live for the Lord. Now, we get sidetracked, and we fall, and we stumble. And Paul's saying, if you focus on the sinful nature, and that's the direction you're going, then yeah, you're not going to do those things that you want to do. He goes on in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. If you're led by the Spirit and you're ongoing, there's a sense of an ongoing relationship where you're seeking and pursuing what God wants from you. And you're saying, okay, God, show me, lead me, guide me today, right now, this minute. I need your direction and your strength and your help. And if we do that, then Paul says, you're not under law. Remember when he's talking about the law, he's talking about keeping rituals and rules and that somehow that was going to help you to live a godly life. And Paul's saying, no, that isn't the case. You have to live by the Spirit of God, depending on the Spirit of God. And as you live it by the Spirit of God, then yes, you will honor and please God. So you're not under law on one level. What Paul is saying is if you're walking by the Spirit, then the law doesn't have any place anyway. You're already doing what God wants you to do. You're already honoring Him in your life. It's interesting, the philosophers, the pagan philosophers of the day used to say in this time period that a wise man didn't need any laws because he lived by the law that was in his heart. And I think at one level, they were probably coming up with what Romans said, where there's a conscience there. And people who live by their conscience are doing something that the law the law doesn't can't make you do. And so there's that whole sense of if you're led by the Spirit, then you're not under law. You're not under law because you're being led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is leading you in the direction that you should go. Now, I'm just going to tell you right up front here, we are not going to spend a ton of time in the acts of the sinful nature or the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to come back to this passage over and over for a number of weeks. We will come back and we'll deal specifically with the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. We're just going to do a survey. I want to whet your appetite for it. But as you see in the bulletin, the next time, okay, we're going to be in Galatians 5, 16 through 23. Well, we're going to come back and then we'll do the different aspects of that. But I'm going to just go really quickly through it and give you a survey, and then we'll finish up with those last few verses that we've got in this chapter. So he says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. The acts or the works of the sinful nature, these things are clearly seen, Paul says. Okay, so he gives us a long list. In verse 19, he talks about three sexual sins, sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Verse 20, two sins that are religious in nature, idolatry and witchcraft. Now in 8, there are 8 societal sins in verse 20 and 21, sins that have to do with relating with other people in the culture and in your family, etc. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Okay, those are 8 societal sins. And then there's 2 sins that are kind of alcohol related, drunkenness and orgies. And so Paul says, here are some of the things that the sinful nature would love for you to be involved in on a regular basis. And I said, we'll come back and we'll deal with that in much more detail later. In the future. I want you to, he says in verse 21, I warn you that, as I did before, that those who live like this will not enter the kingdom of God. On one level, what Paul is saying here is, if this is your lifestyle and this is what you're thriving on and you absolutely love this and there's no conscience that's telling you you shouldn't do this, there's probably a good chance that the Spirit of God isn't even in you, so you have not come to Christ. You don't know him, because if the Spirit of God is in you, there's going to be that conflict over this. And you won't be doing these things and saying, oh, gee, this is no big deal. You'll be saying, wait a minute here, and you'll be really deeply troubled. And so that's what he's saying in there. So you will not inherit the kingdom of God because the Spirit of God isn't in you. Only believers will enter the kingdom of God. Then he goes on and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And again, we'll come back and we'll spend quite a bit of time working through those. But there's a practical outward expression. When you look at, the first ones are all upward. Love, joy, peace. So those are kind of an attitude. If someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to see those kinds of things. Then there's an outward expression, how we react towards others, patience, kindness, goodness. And then there's that Christian conduct, and there's a whole idea of being faithful and gentle and self-controlled. So, and he says, against these things there is no law. If the Holy Spirit's building these things in you, you don't need rules, you don't need regulations, you don't need the law, because you're already living out the truth of God's Word. I came across this quote that really, really encouraged me when I was studying through this week. He said this, the contrast between the acts of the flesh, or the sinful nature, and the fruit of the Spirit shows that walking by the Spirit actually accomplishes the goals of the law. What do we mean by that? Remember when Jesus was asked, what are the most important commands? What did he say? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's the heart of the law. That's the goal of the law. And I think what this is saying is if you are growing and the fruit of the Spirit is being built up in you because the Spirit is working in you, you will accomplish that goal of the law. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That will be accomplished in you. Not because you're doing it, but because the Spirit is causing those things to be fruitful in your life. And a second quote just really kind of touched me as I was reading about the spiritual, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit is singular. The Holy Spirit produces one kind of fruit, Christ-likeness. And if you look at all of those things, that's the description of Christ. And really, as a believer, what are we supposed to become? More and more like Jesus. And so the fruit of the Spirit develops that in us. That's the thought that seems to be there. Let's go on to verse 24. Those who belong to Jesus, to Christ Jesus, have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And there's a verse we're going to camp there at some point and just spend quite a bit of time talking about what that looks like. But right now, just very briefly, those who belong to Christ Jesus, those who are the rightful property of Jesus Christ, those who have been bought and paid for. Romans 8:9 says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. If you not have the Spirit of Christ because you have not received Christ, you have not believed on Him and been saved, then you don't belong to Him. So those who belong to Christ Jesus, those are the ones who have crucified the sinful nature. It's a decisive thing that has happened for the person at the point of conversion, with its passions and desires, not just the physical things that are around you, but also the whole idea of what's going on inside of us. And why we do things. And the whole idea of passions, giving into our indulgences and our sinful cravings, is the whole idea of desires. And then he goes on in verse 25 and he says, since we live by the Spirit, that's something, again, that's already been accomplished because we have the Spirit of God living in us. Believers have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. Since we live by the Spirit, he says, this is what we're supposed to do. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. And again, this is a command. In the Greek, it's an imperative. Walk in line behind the leader. It's a military term. And that's what's being said here. We live by the Spirit. How do we do that? Let's keep in step, or let's keep in line with the Spirit. The implication here is for discipleship, isn't it? Jesus is the one we're following, along with others who are following Jesus. And we are following the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we're supposed to stay in step with Him. Verse 26 then says, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. You kind of think, well, wait a minute, what's going on? Why? It's like a huge change here. You know, we live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, and then all of a sudden, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. And the whole idea of conceited means empty or false opinion, elevated opinion of ourselves. To provoke. Have you ever been provoked or someone provoked you? That's to deliberately annoy or anger someone. Envy each other. And Paul's writing to the church of Galatia saying this shouldn't be part of your church, shouldn't be part of your fellowship. And if you go back to verse 15, he said something very strong like that as well. In verse 15, it says, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed. Watch out. As I was studying this through, I think verse 25 is really what he's saying, and verse 26 is the application of that. So verse 25, live by the Spirit. We live by the Spirit, then let's keep in step with the Spirit. And what that means is, the application is, if you're walking by the Spirit, you're not going to be conceited or provoke each other or push each other, envy each other, that kind of a thing. So if you're walking by the Spirit, then verse 26 won't be a reality for you. And that's, I think, the challenge he's trying to make there. Walk by the Spirit. Don't have these things going on in your church family. Or the ones in verse 15 where you're biting and devouring each other. Those things shouldn't be part of your fellowship. Not if you're walking by the Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit. Another quote that I found really helpful is this one. The true depth of our relationship with God must be expressed in our relationship with others. If I say that I'm walking with the Lord and I'm close to the Lord, but my relationships with all the people around me are absolute garbage because of the way I treat them, then I'm missed entirely the whole point of this. I'm supposed to love the Lord my God with all my heart and my neighbor as myself, and that should flow right out of the fact that the Spirit is working in me, moving me in those directions. So what do we take away from all this? The two verses I really want to key on this morning are verse 16 and verse 25. Those are the two that really jumped out at me as we're looking at these verses 16 to 26. I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. As I was thinking about that this week, a thought came. You know, so we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we're saved. God could have at that point in time taken away our sin nature. And that would have been the end of it. We wouldn't have this battle. We wouldn't have this stuff going on inside of us. Why in the world didn't he do that? He didn't tell us. I have a guess, though. Came across this week. I think one of the reasons was that it was to constantly remind us that we still need him. Yeah, we're saved. Yes, we're going to heaven. We're redeemed, all of that. But we need to remember on a daily basis, I need the Spirit's help today to help me live and walk in the way I'm supposed to. Instead of removing our sin nature, God gave us the Holy Spirit. I really think that's the answer. Instead of saying, okay, now you're going to be positionally perfect and also just practically perfect, he said, I'm going to save you, and you are perfect in my sight, and at some point in time, when you're with me, you'll see me, you'll be like me, and you will be perfect in every way. But until that time, your lesson is to learn obedience by submitting more and more to the Holy Spirit and saying no to your sin nature. That's what I'm calling you to do. So instead of removing our sin nature, God gave us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, by the way, who raised Jesus from the dead. And there's all kinds of wonderful things that you can kind of start thinking through about that. The very power of God living in us. But the Spirit of God enables us to do things. Let me just share. These are just four. It's way more than this, but just these four I'm going to share with you this morning. The Spirit of God enables us, first of all, to understand the spiritual things in life. 1 Corinthians says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. You ever spoken to someone who doesn't know the Lord? And you're talking with them and sharing with them, and they go, you're just nuts. This is crazy talk, what you're saying. And the scriptures are really clear. They don't get it. They don't understand it. And it has nothing to do with their intelligence. Some of the brightest people I know fall into this category. But it's that they're spiritually discerned. They're foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So the best prayer that we can pray for an unsaved person that we care about is, God, open the eyes of their heart. Don't let Satan blind them. Give them that opportunity to see it, but you help them understand it, because they're not going to get it otherwise. They're just not going to get it. Why? Well, you know what? We can reason with people. We can lay out arguments with people. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us to do that. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone for the hope you have within you. But the reality is, you can win the argument and you can lay it down perfectly, but unless the Spirit of God is opening their eyes so they understand it, they will not get it. So we need to pray. And as we're looking for those opportunities to share, we're saying, Lord God, you enter into a conversation. I have a conversation with someone many times. I'm saying, Lord, I don't have a clue where I'm going with this. I don't know what's going to happen here, but you're going to have to do something. Please, Lord, step in. Because they're spiritually discerned. That's the first thing. The second thing, the Spirit of God enables us to receive Christ as Savior. There's that work of God drawing and bringing us and causing us to see the reality and the truth. I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. What a person believes and says about Jesus is the most important thing in all of life. There's nothing more important than that. But what you truly believe must impact how you live. It is not enough to say, I love Jesus. I think he's a good teacher. I think he's a wonderful man, great example. That's fine and dandy. But that belief that we have in Jesus Christ should be in us as we yield more and more to the Spirit, because at that point then we become more and more like Jesus Christ. And that's the goal. The third thing, the Spirit of God enables us to call God Father. And we've seen this already in Galatians 4. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And one of the assurances we have because of the indwelling Holy Spirit is the assurance that we can call God Father. Instead of calling God the judge, or calling God the God of wrath, or facing God as the one who's bringing righteous judgment, or the one who's taking vengeance against evil, we could say, Abba, Father. That's because the Spirit is indwelling us, and we know as a result of that that we have the ability to call God Father. And then the fourth one. The Spirit of God enables us to develop godly character. Now, your notes probably say Christian personality. I didn't correct that in time. It's the same thing, except I like the way godly character sounds better. And that's what the fruit of the Spirit's all about, isn't it? If the fruit of the Spirit is in me doing all of those things, I'm going to become more and more like Jesus. I'm going to be more and more reflecting who He is to other people. So Holy Spirit growing and developing His fruit in our lives. Then we'll see that that process of becoming Christ-like is taking place. So the answer to the question, why didn't God remove our sin nature, at least partially, is that instead of removing our sin nature, He said, I'm going to do better than that. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit and teach you obedience as you learn to submit to Him. I think that's one of the lessons from these verses. Like I said, the two key verses for me in this section were, as we're looking at them today, so I say, live by the Spirit, and then you will not gratify the desires of sinful nature. And verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, there's a couple things from here that I want to just focus on. Walking by the Spirit is first and foremost not casual. I mean, it's deadly serious. This is not something that we do if we feel like it and don't do if we don't feel like it. Oh, yeah, well, today I'll walk by the Spirit, tomorrow I'll walk by the flesh. And it's not supposed to be like that. I'm not supposed to do it partially or half-heartedly. Live by the Spirit, and because you're living by the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now, let's just say that you're out working and you're actually working on a septic tank that's full, okay? Let's just kind of paint the picture as dark as we can. And for whatever reason, you fall in. And if you've ever worked in septic tanks or near them, this is disgusting in any way you can imagine. So you come out of the septic tank and you don't even want to imagine the stuff that's kind of hanging on you and clinging to you. You just want to get to the shower. And you get to the shower and you just happen to have this amazing shower you can go into. It's got one of those big shower heads. It's about like that, coming straight down. And you turn it on and water's just streaming down. It's awesome. And you get in there and you go, put your fingers in. And you put your toes in. You just kind of spray yourself a little bit. It's not going to do anything, is it? You want to get the junk off, the filth off. You get in and you soak. And you soak. And you soak. Probably a couple of days would do the job. The imagery kind of breaks down there, but what I'm trying to say is we can't just have a little bit of the Spirit. We can't just ask the Spirit to clean our toes and our fingers. We need to let the Spirit of God just immerse us. We need to be immersed in His Word and trusting Him to just cleanse us and clean us in every way and shape. It is not something that's just kind of if I want to. If we're serious about Jesus Christ, it's okay, I'm getting under the steam and I'm staying in there. So that's one thing. Second thing, it's absolutely focused, and it's focused on one thing. I could not take a picture of John and Daniel at the same time. It was totally opposite directions. Walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh are two opposite directions. You can't focus on the one and try to focus on the other. It doesn't work that way. We live by the Spirit. We must keep in step with the Spirit. That's obedience, and that's following the Spirit of God. A man many years ago in the Detroit area, a young man actually came, and he would be at the sermon, listen to the sermons and talk to me, and I visited with him quite often. And he really was very upset with me that I didn't give more rules. He was a rules guy. He liked rules. And he wanted me to tell people a little bit more exactly what they could wear or couldn't wear, or what they should read or shouldn't read. And he was really wanting me to be as legalistic as he was. And as I looked at Scripture, I didn't see that that was the way to get godliness into people. It was getting God's Word into people, letting the Spirit do His job, but certainly not trying to impose some rules. But we kept having these conversations, and he kept saying that that's what I should do. And then at one point it became really clear that he was having an immoral relationship with his girlfriend. And I thought, you know, all of your rules aren't making you more godly. And I had to have a conversation with him at one point where I said, listen, you've got all these rules that you're trying to keep and all these things that you want me to tell other people to do, but you're sleeping with your girlfriend and that's not a godly thing. That's hard. hard conversation to have, but that's the reality. That's the reality. And the reality is rules don't help. The Holy Spirit helps, yes. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps us. If we keep in step with Him, then it doesn't matter about the rules because we're following Him and we're in the Word of God and He's filling us and we're continuing to grow. And the regulations just won't do that. This quote I found really helpful. When we cannot focus our hearts fully on Jesus while at the same time participating in sin. And he was saying, oh, I love Jesus. I want to follow Jesus, but I'm also going to do this over here. And I'm saying, wait a minute here. You can't do both things. You can't be sleeping with your girlfriend and saying that you love Jesus. Jesus said that's not what you're supposed to be doing. So what does living by the Spirit look like? Well, you can't focus on sin and concentrate on walking with Jesus. It doesn't work. It's impossible to be involved in sinful thoughts, words, and actions and be walking by the Spirit. It just doesn't work. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It's a matter of focus. It's a matter of putting my attention on something. It's a matter of who's in control. This quote by Bill McDonald I thought was encouraging and challenging. Instead of removing the old nature, God gave us the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit and our sinful nature are always at war and will continue to be at war until we arrive home in heaven. There's only one thing that causes that not to happen, and that's if we just give in to sin. There's not a war when we give in to sin. Our part in the conflict, that battle that's there, is to yield to the Spirit day by day, minute by minute. And it's interesting because the New Testament gives us a number of word pictures to help us think through what that means. Jesus said, take your cross and follow me. That's the whole idea of dying to self and living for God. It's a very vivid image picture, a very vivid picture. Jesus also said, take my yoke on you, learn from me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. But again, what is it? It's okay, I'm walking with Jesus, I'm serving with Him. He's the one that's in control. It's His yoke that I'm joining. And of course, Romans 12, which should be a daily challenge to us. Give yourself, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. If you want to picture the altar crawling up on it and saying, here I am again, Lord, take me, use me. That's the imagery. I think walking in the Spirit means taking those images and saying, okay, today, Lord, I want those things to be true in my life. Romans 8:5 is also, I think, some encouraging here. Those who live according to the sinful nature, those who focus on their sinful nature, those who do the things of their sinful nature, well, that's what's going on because they are thinking about and focusing on what that nature desires. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set or their focus on what God wants, what God desires. So really, if you want to take it and look at it a little bit differently, what are you doing in your life? What kinds of things are going on? That'll tell you what your focus is. Okay, so if I'm walking and doing things I shouldn't be, it's because my focus is not on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's on those sinful things, those sinful patterns. Dave Henson and I were talking about this at one point, and he said, it's like you have two horses. You have the horse that represents the Spirit of God, and the horse that represents the works of the flesh. Which horse are you going to feed? You starve the one and feed the other. And it really comes down to this. You will become like that on which you focus. You will become like that on which you focus. You're living a sinful lifestyle, then that means you are focusing on sin. You cannot focus on sin and focus on walking in the Spirit. It doesn't work that way. So the question is, on who or on what are you focusing? On who or what am I focusing? Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're here this morning and you realize that you have not even been trying to walk by the Spirit. Maybe you realize you've been very content to just try to maybe not sin as much as you have been. If you know the Lord Jesus I want to just challenge you this morning to take some time to confess that and say, Lord God, my focus should be you. I need help. Just take a minute to do that. If you're here this morning and all this maybe doesn't make sense to you, I'd love to talk with you, not to try to convince you of anything, but just to share with you from God's Word the truth and the reality of Jesus Christ dying for you. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your Word. Thank you for the power of your Word. Thank you that you are in control of all things. Thank you that you're clear in your Word about how we can walk in the Spirit, and that's to put our heart, our focus, our thoughts on you. So I just pray for myself and for my brothers and sisters this morning. Lord God, may we be willing to live by the Spirit so that we don't gratify the desires of the flesh. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us your Spirit. Thank you that because of your Spirit, we can have victory over these things. We thank you and we praise you in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.